recorded in the gospel happened. But the one we want to look at starts in verse number 44, and we'd like to read verses 44 to 53 responsively. That means I'll read verse 44, you read verse 45, we'll go back and forth. Verse 53 is where we'll stop. If you're able, would you stand with me and we'll read God's word together. We're in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44, responsively to the end of the chapter. I'll begin. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day.
And that repentance
and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them.
And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven.
And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy.
And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
Notice verse 48 again, please. The Bible says, and ye are witnesses of these things. Thank you very much. You may have a seat. Witnesses. You know, crooks aren't too bright. So if you plan to be a crook, know something wrong is going to happen to you in many ways. In the courtroom, two men claiming innocence were on trial for armed robbery. An eyewitness took the stand and the prosecutor began to question him. Sir, you say you were at the scene when the robbery took place. Yes, was his answer. And you saw a vehicle leave at a high rate of speed. Yes, was his answer again. And you saw a vehicle leave and you saw two men in that vehicle. Yes, and the prosecutor continued. And do you see those two men present in the court today? And as if at roll call, the two men at the defendant's table raised their hands as if they to say, yes, that was us. Crooks aren't too bright. But the witness could tell who was who. Jesus says to his disciples, ye are witnesses of these things. A witness is one who is present and sees an event and later gives testimony of it. A witness. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. They are now. They are witnesses of these things, his resurrection. Here the resurrected Jesus visits the disciples in their hideout. In Jerusalem, remember, they all huddled together and Jesus appeared to them and to various others as well in the first day or so. But God tells us, gives us a little insight here as he speaks to them personally and he shares with them these amazing truths. There he gives them that new title, Witness. I'd like to share with you some things today that Jesus wants you to witness about. Things Jesus wants you to witness about. There's a few mentioned here in Scripture. I think there's much more, of course, we could share. But these are the things I see in this passage that God wants us to consider. If you're born again today, God wants you to witness about. Before we go any further, would you bow with me and I'll pray. We'll ask God to help us again. Father, again, we look in your word. Please, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit's special hand and power as we look. Father, that our eyes would be opened and that your truth would be clear. Pray, Father, that these things that we are to witness of Christ, Lord, that we would get a desire, we'd have a burning zeal to share it with somebody that we know needs to hear. Pray, Father, that not only would we share it, but we'd live it too for your honor and your glory. Again, Lord, if there's one who needs to accept Christ today, Lord, that this would be the day of salvation. What a great, great day it would be. We ask your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. The things Jesus wants you to witness about. Verse number 44 again says this: "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Number one, I want to share with you that Jesus tells us to share his witness about Jesus being in the Old Testament and the New. Witness about Jesus being in the Old Testament and the New. Jesus is that prophesied Messiah of the Old Testament. He fits all the prophetic verses of the Old Testament. He's fulfilled at least 30 prophecies at his death, burial, and resurrection alone. The Bible tells us that his disciples betrayed him. He suffered for you and me. He was pierced in the side. He was forsaken. He was crucified on a cross. He resurrected from a rich man's tomb. He had victory over death. The prophecies of the Old Testament fit Jesus to a T. And there's no one else that can claim that any of them fit them. He is the prophesied Messiah of the Old Testament. He says, let others know. Of course, they were Jews, Jewish men, disciples, later to be called Christians, but they first began to reach out to the Jewish population. And this was a major truth that they wanted to share, that Jesus wanted out. But verse 47, it says not only that, that Jesus' resurrection is indisputable proof of his identity, Look at verse 47. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name," that is the Christ, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The identity of Jesus, the Christ, the crucified, the Messiah, the risen again one, his identity compels, the Bible says, repentance. Repentance. Repentance means to change the mind that leads to a change in action. To change the mind. It leads to a change in action. What were the Jews looking for in their Messiah at the time of Jesus' life? They were looking for a Messiah who would come and lead them in revolt against Rome, that would throw off all the things that Rome has put on them, that has made life hard. And they did. They did. Rome was no good character in history. They certainly kept people under their dictatoring thumb. And that's what the Jews were looking for. They wanted a Messiah who could raise up an army, just like in the Old Testament times when Israel would have tens of thousands of people and they'd blow the trumpet and they'd all come and they would have victory from the hand of God and so forth. That's what they were looking for. Something had to change up here. God says, Jesus said, share the truth that the Christ has come, I'm the Messiah, that they might repent, change the mind or the heart that leads to a change in action. Repentance. Repentance. Let me ask you a question. Do you think people need to have a changed mind today about Jesus? Here we are almost 2,000 years later. People still see Jesus maybe as a picture of history or someone who's important to a lot of people in the world. But I think I got other things to do today. I think I've got to worry about this and I've got to worry about that. And man, where's the stock market going? And who's going to be at war next week and so forth? We've got to worry about these things. No, God says, listen, number one, you need to change your mind about how important Jesus is. And number two, that he's the only Savior there is. Amen. There is no other Savior. Praise God for those that we entrust with some safety and they fulfill their jobs as best they can, but there's no one who can make you safer than God and Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is. His identity compels repentance. He lives today. Folks, how many of us could go, if we had the power, would we go to the cemetery and raise some people up so that we could have them back today? Jesus is the only one who did that on his own. Conquered death, and he lives today. His identity is required for remission. Let's look at the verse again. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Remission means that those sins be dismissed, they be pardoned. And only through the name of Jesus Christ can that happen. Hey, I'm thankful to be in church today, aren't you? Glad to be here. Good to see you guys. And thankful for you. But being in church today doesn't get me to heaven. I'm thankful to have a wife who likes to be in church and a family and others. But knowing them and spending time around them, that doesn't get me to heaven either. It's only my faith and trust in Christ, receiving what he did for me on the cross when he shed his blood and he rose again 3 days later, believing that what God says, that was enough to pay for my sins' accountability, which is a separation from God today and will continue forever if I reject Christ. If I reject Christ. Ephesians 2 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Jesus' resurrection is indisputable proof of his identity. They say this last week that over 250,000 people visited the Vatican to see the body of Francis, the Pope of the Catholic Church, who is dead. And by the way, he'll remain so. He's not going to raise up from the dead. It's been 9 days. Today's the 9th day, they tell me. He's still in his tomb. He's not going to raise up. The Catholic Church says he was a great and compassionate man. But let me ask you this, Christian friend. Are we willing to witness about the living Savior? 250,000 people, I don't know what they paid to get there, but what are we willing to do to witness that we have a living Savior? There's no body to view, but there are witnesses who need to speak up. Witnesses. God says he wants you and I to witness about Jesus being in the old and the new, and his resurrection is real and true today. Amen? Amen. It is. Let's go back, Luke chapter 24. Take a look at verse 48, please. "And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Witness about. And Jesus is speaking here when he talks about the promise, the power that was going to come from on high in Jerusalem. He's referring to that Holy Spirit that he told them, "I'm going to send him to you. In my absence, he's going to be with you and abide with you." Witness number two about the Holy Spirit's work today. The Holy Spirit's work today. What is it? We have the Bible, the Holy Spirit authored book. We have a book that we can say, this is God's word. Amen. This is God's word. Other books may contain God's word, but this is God's word. And what we have in our hands, God says he wants us to witness of. Mark chapter 12 tells us, even in the times of the writing of Scripture, it was attested to, it was given credit to the Holy Spirit's authorization. Mark chapter 12, verse 36. Let's go there. We're in the Gospels. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, take a look at verse 36. The Bible says in verse 36, "For David himself said," what's the next phrase? "By the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's go there. Often when we speak of the Bible, these are verses we look at especially. 2 Peter chapter 1, near the back of the book. 2 Peter chapter 1. I make mistakes, but this one I'm right on, let me tell you. Chapter 1, take a look at verse number 20. Did I say 2 Timothy earlier? We'll get there. We'll get there. All right, we'll get there. 2 Peter chapter 1. I apologize for that. But we will get there. Take a look, 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 20 and verse 21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by" who? The Holy Ghost. Now, 2 Timothy, let's go there. 2 Timothy 3, and we'll all read this one together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, take a look at verse 16. Let's read verse number 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Inspired by God, the Bible says, and delineates specifically the Holy Ghost's ministry in sharing the Word of God with mankind. Friends, praise the Lord, we have help books and counsel books, and we have others who've had history and counseling and experience and things that maybe we need some help on, but none of it can trump what the Bible tells us. The Bible gives us God's truth, and His Holy Spirit can guide us into the specific things in order to obey it. Here's some people from history that said some thoughts about the Bible. Napoleon, you ever heard of him? The French emperor, he said this, "The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it." James Dwight Dana, and a person that you may not know, but he was a pioneer in studying volcanic activity, especially during the mid-1800s. What we know about volcanoes today, most attribute to him as getting it started. He said this in a class that he was teaching, "Young men, as you go forth, remember that I, an old man, who has known only science all his life, say unto you that there is no truer facts than the facts found within the Holy Scriptures." Teddy Roosevelt, 16th President of the United States, said this, "No educated man can afford to be ignorant of the Bible." Is God's Word that important to you? Is it a part of your daily life? We were talking with the kids on Friday night at the activity, encouraging them. You know, if you're going to be in God's Word, you have to make yourself do it if you're going to do it every day. When you come to church, we're going to do it together, but tomorrow it's up to you, and the next day and so forth. Get in a habit. Let it be a part of your life. Let it change you. Men have tried to change the Bible. They have been unsuccessful, praise the Lord, because God continues to preserve His Word for us. Today, we have the Holy Spirit authored Bible. Secondly, we have the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit moves and directs. Take a look again at verse 48, back in Luke chapter 24. "And ye are witnesses of these things." 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, you can. Verse 22 says this, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." We have the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit moves. Can I tell you something? The true church is that body of believers in Christ that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you receive Christ by faith through salvation, you call on Him like the Bible says we can do, and trust Him alone for your salvation in Christ. The Bible says He sends somebody to you called the Holy Spirit to lead and direct in your life, but not just to be all by yourself. He has made a body of Christ, of believers, to gather together like we are today, what we commonly call the local body of believers. That is a group that gathers today so we can understand, we can obey, we can serve, we can do things for God, and do what Jesus would have us to do. God works through His church, folks. And praise God that you have to go to church to be a believer. You do not. But if you're a believer, you need to go to church. You need to go to church. Because this is a place that God and the Holy Spirit work through. It is that body of believers that He works in. This same Spirit guides and directs as we submit to Him. By the way, it's good to have the Holy Spirit, but if He's telling us to do something that agrees with the Word of God, follows in detail what He wants us to do, and we say no, the Bible says we can grieve Him, we can quench Him, we can do our best to avoid Him. But let me tell you something, once you're saved, you can't get rid of Him. You're not going to get rid of Him. Because God loves you, He wants you to know how to live the Christian life. And through His Holy Spirit, He guides and directs that way too. We have the book that He's authored, the Bible. We have the body of Christ that He moves. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to witness of Jesus Christ. We're in Luke chapter 24. Take a look, verse 49 again. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. What's the difference between the Gospels and Acts chapter 2? The difference is the Holy Spirit came to stay. when they were there in that room, and their faith and trust in Christ was obvious. They had followed through with Christ. The Bible says that God sent the Holy Spirit, and he began to dwell within them. The book of Acts tells us all about how God's work the Holy Spirit's power used people to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus wants you and me to do. And by the way, it can be scary. How many know what I'm talking about? What if they don't like me, what I say? What if they try to do something harmful to me? If I share what you're telling me to share with them right now, the Lord. The Bible says there's power in the Holy Spirit. By the way, this is not physical power. This is not power to somehow make others submit. This is power that comes from on high to tell simply another beggar where to find the bread. Amen. That Jesus Christ is the answer for your problems in life. He can meet those needs. But if you don't have him as Savior, you're missing out. We have the Holy Spirit. Witness about the Holy Spirit's work today. Number three, let's go back to Luke chapter 24. Verse number 50 says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and bless them." Third thing I believe Jesus wants us to witness about is this. Witness about how you came to know the Lord Jesus yourself. Witness about how you came to know the Lord Jesus. He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands. He blessed them, the Bible says, and he was parted from them. And they began to go into Jerusalem and let others know. Here's what the Bible tells us about what we can tell others. You called upon the Savior that still lives. You called upon the Savior that still lives. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." My Savior is not some other figure of history that, you know, I'll never meet. It's not that Pope that's laying in that grave and eventually the tomb and so forth and all the others that are there. No, it's a living Savior that I have, and I can tell you all about him. You believe in the Savior who is worthy. Verse number 52 tells us that they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Revelation 5, let's go there, the back of the book, Revelation chapter 5. And look at verse number 12, please. The Bible speaks of those witnesses of Christ who witness of the Lamb of God, and the number in heaven is beyond count. Here's what they are saying according to verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Is Jesus worthy of telling others? Absolutely he is. Absolutely he is. And the Bible says you and I need to be witnesses of that. And a final thought as we look at coming to know Jesus and sharing about that, you have unshakable hope that Jesus is coming back. That Jesus is coming back. The Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus mentioned it to his disciples, "I'll come again." In Acts chapter 1, here in Luke chapter 24, he tells them, "I'll see you again." John chapter 14, all over the scriptures. The Bible tells us he will come in the clouds. If you go to Acts chapter 1, we see him saying that. I should say, angels telling his disciples that. Acts chapter 1, take a look, verse 10, verse 11. Is it a cloudy day out there today? It's bright and sunny, but I'll bet there's a cloud or two somewhere we can find. Perhaps today is the day. The Bible says, "And while they," that is the disciples, "looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He will come in the clouds. His appearing is the next biblical event on God's calendar. If we're waiting for the world to fall into all kinds of war and things of that nature, God tells us in his word, the next thing that he has planned is for Jesus to come again. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, verse 14. If you want to look there, you can. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The people who were living during the time that the New Testament was written, the New Testament church, they thought Jesus was going to come back then, that he's going to be here. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Not only is he going to be in the clouds to receive us, not only is he coming again, it's the next thing on God's calendar, but God says there's going to be some wonderful things that are going to happen that moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, would you go there, please? Let me start in verse 13. As a matter of fact, let's read these verses together. Verses 13 to verse 18. Verse 13 to verse 18. Would you read those out loud with me, please? Let's begin. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Bible tells us this event, it's a future event, could happen anytime. It has two purposes. One is to witness that Jesus is coming again. The other is to comfort believers in Christ. Notice the last phrase there. He says in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. This is the next thing on God's calendar that's going to happen. I'm here to tell you, I can't wait. How about you? I can't wait. But if I have to wait, I know this. If I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, I'll see him face to face in heaven, just like all other believers who've gone to be with him before me. Witness of these things. Witness of the Lord Jesus, that he was in the old, he fulfilled all that Messiah prophecies, and in the new, he's alive, and he's resurrected from the grave today. Witness about the Holy Spirit's work today. When you receive Christ, guess what happens? You got a helper, along with Scripture, along with the example of Christ, to help guide and direct in what to do. And witness about how you came to know Jesus. Let me ask you this. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? Remember, a witness is one who's seen the event, was present there, and then testifies of it. Can I share with you? We can be witnesses of a lot of things, but if we have no faith in Christ, we've not put our faith and trust in the Jesus that Scripture teaches, then we're not his witnesses. But we can be. We can be. Would you call on him today? 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's here. He's alive. Amen. We are to be witnesses. How many have ever gone to Washington, D.C.? How many have ever seen the Washington Memorial? Still today, when it was built, when it was completed, It was the tallest building in the world at the time. Other buildings have far exceeded it by now. But it's still the tallest building in the city of Washington today, D.C. Many times there are construction going on, remodels and so forth, but the basic structure, of course, is still there today. In 1994, the Washington Monument underwent much-needed renovation. And during that time, an 1800s-era inscription carved in the lobby wall that had been covered by wainscoting was discovered. The inscription reads this: "Whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one soul erects a monument to his own memory more lofty and enduring than this." Signed by BFB. Nobody knows who that is. And I'm told that the inscription is still there, although likely covered today because there have been other renovations made since then. And there's a lot of inscriptions along the walls there, but it's good to know that somebody saw the need to be a witness to all the visitors who came. Christian friend, the Bible tells us we don't get to choose whether we are a witness. We are ones. But he does say we need to get busy doing the job. Tell them about Christ. Tell them that God can work in their life. He can use the Holy Spirit power to reach and help them in life. And tell them about how you came to Christ. Tell them about how you know Jesus. And he's coming again. Heavenly Father, help us to be witnesses of these things. The things that we know about Jesus, what he continues to do in our lives. May you get the glory, Lord, in all things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Please, eyes are closed. Are you here this morning in all the excitement of the Easter and Resurrection Day? That's past us. But we still have some great things to share to people. We continue to talk about the risen Lord. And he wants us to be witnesses. Christian friend, are you here this morning? Would you say, Pastor, God's brought somebody to my mind. There's someone on my mind that needs me to witness to them. Would you remember me when you pray? I want to bring that person to the Lord. Would you ask God's help alongside me to be a witness to them? Here's my hand. Please pray for me. I got someone on my mind. Amen. Yes. I got someone I know. Amen. Needs to hear from me. Amen. Yes. Any others? Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Amen. I got someone on my mind, and I want to be a witness to them. Anybody else, pray for me. I do too. Yes. One more question, then I'll close. Friends, are we here this morning? And praise God, we can gather together around the Word of God. We can talk about the Lord Jesus. We can sing about him. We can enjoy it. But I wonder if you need to trust in Christ as Savior. You need to put your faith in him. If that's your need, would you allow me to pray with you that God will help you settle that today? I can't save you. Your cry out to the Lord and putting faith in Christ, that's what God says he wants you to do. Would you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not settled with this, but I want to be. I want to know for sure Christ is my Savior. I want no doubts. Would you remember me when you close? Not by name, but I'll pray. Here's my hand. Remember me. I want to settle this without any doubts. Would you pray for me? Yes. Yeah. Heavenly Father, you've put on our hearts many of us who we love, Lord, we care about, but we know you loved enough to send your only begotten Son to die for. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses of Jesus to these dear folks that you've put on our hearts and minds. In just a moment, we want to give them to you in prayer. We want to ask for your help and the time to speak to them and show them Christ. Would you help us to do that? Father, others have said, we want to settle this issue of salvation. We want to settle it today, that there be no doubts. Oh God, if that's the need, we can handle that today through your word. Lord, I pray that you would answer that need today. Father, others have needs on our hearts that you know of and we don't. Others don't, but I pray, Father, for your help in meeting those as well. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, heads bowed, please, eyes closed. If you're able, would you stand? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song. We'll sing a little bit later, but if God's moving you to pray for that person, pray for that person that God put on your heart who needs the Lord, and for you to witness to them, would you do that as she begins to play?